Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever lost anything of value?
How many times?
My husband can tell you how I have a penchant for losing my keys, so that I have to put them in a particular place as soon as I get home, or I will have no idea where they are. I routinely lose my cell phone. It's why I have an alarm set at 8 o'clock, so that if I lose it in the house, I can hear it when it goes off at 8. And there have been times that I've lost something really important. And I have searched and searched and searched and searched for it until I have found it. Has that happened to you?
Yes,
it has. Why? Why do we go searching for the thing that is missing? Because we think we need it. Because it's ours.
Or it has meaning.
It has some sort of meaning. There's a reason we go searching after it. Because it's important to us. And so in today's gospel, we get two parables. One about a shepherd who has a sheep that goes missing. And he leaves the 99, undoubtedly in the care of other shepherds, to go searching for the one who is lost. We know sheep, don't we? Sheep are not the brightest creatures in the barnyard. And they tend to go wandering. I know they're cute and fluffy and all that, but they tend to go wandering and doing things that are not to their advantage. And knowing that, I always wonder when the Bible tells us that we are like sheep going astray. So the shepherd, knowing that one of his precious flock is missing, goes searching for it, goes over hill and around rocks and through the brambles, and finally finds that one who has strayed and picks it up, puts it over his shoulders, rejoicing that he has found the lost one, and then goes home and calls those together that he knows and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost." And the woman with the coins, she has 10 of them, 10 silver coins. That would be equivalent to about 10 days' wages, those 10 coins. So that one coin is one whole day's work. So it's not like she lost a dime. Some of us would go searching even for that. But she's lost a considerable sum of money. And you can see her picking up all of the jugs and sweeping under every nook and cranny, trying to figure out where that coin might be, that little glint of silver that she's looking for. And she finally finds it after that diligent search, searching over and over again. I know sometimes I don't know what it is. It can be right in front of me, and I don't see it. And I keep looking and looking, and finally there it is. And she rejoices that she's found that coin. And she calls together those that she knows and says, "Rejoice with me because I have found what was lost." There are several hymns that we have that talk about how once we were lost and now have been found. Sound familiar? Or "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," that says how we have this tendency to wander far from the God that we love. So we know who we are in the story. We're the ones who become lost. The story isn't so much about us as it is about the one who seeks us, the one who searches diligently for us until at last we are found. And you know who that is. That is our God who searches for us because we are his and because we are precious and because he doesn't want to lose even a single one of us. When you look back at our first reading, you'll see some interesting things. Now, the people have turned away from really their belief in God. Moses has gone up the mountain and he's gone for so long that the people grumble. And then they make for themselves that calf to worship. Oh, God's response. "Your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely." "Not my people, your people, Moses. These are your people. You're in charge of them. You're responsible for them. They have made an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it. I've seen how stiff-necked this people are. Let me alone so that my wrath can burn against them and I may consume them and make of you a great nation." Those of you with children, when you talk to your spouse about the child who is misbehaved, does that sometimes become your child, your son, your daughter? Do you want to hear what your son has done, what your daughter has done? Of course, when they do something great, it's, you know, my child, our child. But when they've misbehaved, it's your child. Look, you've got to do something about these children of yours. Not my children, your children. You do something about them. And that's what God is saying, is they're yours. And, you know, I've had it with them. I know I made this covenant, but I forget it. Forget it. Moses, I'm just going to destroy them and make of you that great nation. And Moses' response was, "Lord, why does your wrath burn so hard against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power? Why should the Egyptians say that you have done this to your people? Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel. Remember that you swore to them by your own self, saying that I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land I promised I will give to your descendants, and they will inherit it forever." Moses is saying, "These are not my people. These are your people, Lord. And you made that promise, not to me, but to the ancestors." It's like saying, what sort of God would you be if you were to go back on your promise? And we're told that God did not bring about the disaster that he planned to bring upon his people. This is about the faithfulness of our God, the one who makes promises and keeps them, the one who does acknowledge that we are his people. We are members of his own flock. We are like those precious coins, and he doesn't want to lose a single one of us. Have you ever put together a puzzle and found a piece missing? It's really frustrating because the picture isn't complete unless you have all of the pieces. And the kingdom of God isn't really complete unless we have all of its members. I know sometimes I've looked at this gospel message and thought, well, what God's really referring to are those lost ones out there, those ones who haven't heard about about God and about Jesus. And he's not really speaking to me. But he is. Who was this story for? It was for the Pharisees and the scribes who were grumbling and saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. Because gathered around Jesus already are those who want to hear, who want to be found. The Pharisees and the scribes don't think that they're even lost. When you look at these parables, you have to ask yourself a couple of questions. What does the sheep do to be found? Nothing. It may baa, and they may call the shepherd, but it may also call the wolf. And that coin, what did it do to be found? It just lay there. It did absolutely nothing. It could do less than the sheep. And what does this tell us about God? That even when we don't know that we're lost, even when there is nothing that we can do, God still looks for us, diligently searches for us until we are found. And God rejoices and calls on everyone else to rejoice. Jesus is saying, all right, Pharisees and scribes, even if you are not lost, then be part of those who rejoice when these sinners and tax collectors have been found. So this is a message about our God, the faithfulness of our God, the diligence of our God when we go astray, like that foolish sheep, when we're lost, like that coin. There isn't anything that we can do but allow God to find us. Because God is not the one who's lost. Sometimes people say, but God seems so far away. It's not that God's far away, it's that we're far from God. God will always be searching. God will always welcome us back, no matter how far we stray. Because we belong to God, and we are precious to God, and God will do nothing, nothing, to stop searching for us. I once was lost, but now am found. Praise be to God. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. The word should sound a bit familiar because it is based on the 23rd Psalm.